You're listening to Central Time. I'm Cynthia Schuster.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we'll talk about why some writers say science fiction is the perfect vehicle to explore big questions and hidden corners in our world. But first, it's our state news roundup with WPR's Noah Ofshinsky. Noah's our assistant news director. Noah, thanks for stopping by.
It's good to be here, as always.
So the big story out of Wisconsin this week was the release of thousands of pages of emails relating to the John Doe investigation. So let's start there. Fill us in on what happened.
Right. So this was by far the biggest story, at least as far as the media was concerned, and it involves 27,000 pages of emails and documents from a former aide to Governor Walker, Kelly Reinfleisch. This is, of course, when he was the county executive in Milwaukee County, and it was sent at a time when he was running for governor. And these were documents, these were emails that the press have been pushing to get released, and they were finally released this week.
And given the volume of those emails, it didn't take long for the people digging through them to turn up some content of interest. What did they find?
Yeah, they show a few things. One of the biggest things I think these emails show is sort of the day in the life of a campaign. However, in this case, in pretty vivid detail, it shows that there was really extensive contact between the Walker campaign and Walker's county staff at the time. And it suggests both that there was a lot of contact and a lot of coordination. The emails also show, strongly suggest that there was a behind-the-scenes network of private email addresses people use in order to conduct their campaign business. And of course, because they were private emails, they would be shielded from the public.
And in terms of why this is a sticking point, for people who don't know, this is, illegal to do campaign work on government time. Is that it?
Right. In Wisconsin, you can, if you're a state worker, a government worker, you're getting paid with taxpayer money, that's a big no-no. You can't do campaign work while you're being paid, by the taxpayers, essentially. And that's what got several of Governor Walker's former staff members in trouble, including Kelly Reinfleisch. And that's what they were convicted of eventually during the first John Doe investigation.
So this story has been pretty hot in the blogosphere. It made the New York Times, a whole bunch of other publications. But what has it meant so far for Governor Walker?
Well, I think, I hate to hedge my bets here, but I mean, the jury is still out. Obviously, one of the reasons why people are paying attention to this, especially in the national media, is Governor Walker is considered a potential contender in the next presidential race. So people are paying attention. I mean, that's why he was in the New York Times. And so people are paying attention. And of course, people are always on the lookout for the smell of scandal or any kind of scandal. We saw that with Governor Chris Christie in New Jersey with Bridgegate. And so that's why it's gotten a lot of attention for here, us in Wisconsin. I think these emails clearly paint a picture of what DeWalker's campaign was like at the time. But for the governor, he was never charged. Supporters and legal experts will point out that, if these emails had proved any kind of misconduct on the governor's part, that he would have been charged during the John Doe investigation. And he never was. And so while they may not paint a really pretty picture of his campaign and paints a picture of close coordination between his county staff at the time and his campaign, it's a political problem for the governor at this point. At least it's not a criminal one.
And do you have a sense of how this information has been digested so far?
Yeah. Thank you for prefacing all of this by saying so far, because we're still in the beginning of the story. But I think how people, the public in Wisconsin and others, digest this information, will largely depend on how they feel about the governor in general. If you're a supporter of the governor, I think you'll probably, dismiss it or minimize it, considering the governor wasn't charged. Prosecutors didn't find proof of misconduct. If you are a critic of the governor, as of course the Democratic Party is and others, they point to this as evidence of corruption and the fact that the governor at the time, that he was, a central part of this coordination. And so I think it largely depends on how you feel about the governor in general.
So is this the end of John Doe?
No, this is not. Well, it's the end of that John Doe investigation. That's officially closed. But there is another John Doe investigation going on right now. We don't know a lot about it because the nature of John Doe investigations, they're largely done in secret. We do know that it involves the alleged coordination between the recall campaigns with Governor Walker and others and outside political groups. We know that it deals with that alleged coordination. But we don't know much more than that.
So that's one still TBD.
Still ongoing. And I'm sure we'll know more, and we'll certainly hear more in the next few months.
Well, from the governor to the legislature now, the assembly worked late last night, got some key pieces of legislation passed. What do we need to know about last night's session?
Yeah, so this was a big week for the assembly. They passed some key bills. And again, I'm cherry picking here based on, you know, what I think is interesting, and what I think our listeners are interested in, because they did do a lot this week. And two of the ones I want to talk about deal with the ever delicate issue of local control. And one of the things the assembly passed this week was a bill that really restricts the ability of local governments to enact so-called living wage ordinances. Right now, Dane County, the city of Milwaukee, and Madison, they all pay certain contractors and government workers more per hour. And Milwaukee County was hoping to do the same thing. Under this bill that passed the assembly, they can't do that now if the projects or services are paid for using state funds. So that's, again, a big issue, certainly for Dane County, City of Milwaukee, Madison, again, all governments that have these living wage ordinances.
So that would represent a change for Madison and Milwaukee. Milwaukee County not quite on board yet, but this would put a stop to that.
Yeah, and any other counties that are potentially looking at doing a living wage ordinance, those will not be allowed. For people who are in jobs that use or are funded by state money.
So another bill that went through in the assembly compels Milwaukee to sell vacant public school buildings. Tell us about this one.
Right. Again, another issue of local control. Private schools have said for a while in Milwaukee that in some cases they haven't been allowed to buy these vacant properties or underused properties. They allege because they're seen as competition by the Milwaukee public schools. This bill essentially makes it easier for those private schools to purchase these properties. And again, it's an issue of local control because critics of this bill will say, well, you know, what is the assembly doing? What is state government doing telling the city of Milwaukee what to do with their vacant buildings? So again, another controversial bill, and that's one that just passed the assembly this week as well.
So obviously that would mean a diversity of schools aside from the Milwaukee Public School District should that move forward.
Yeah, and we're talking, I think, somewhere between 15 and 20 buildings right now, depending on who you ask. They're all vacant, and you know, private schools and others want access to those buildings. They want to be able to bid for those buildings, and this bill will make it easier.
And there are a couple of miscellaneous things you wanted to talk about that passed the assembly. One regards the way doctors communicate with their patients.
Yeah, so I found this to be fascinating because this is something that's happening around the country. This bill that passed the assembly, essentially it prevents a doctor's apology from becoming the basis of a medical malpractice lawsuit. Because right now, doctors, hospitals, insurers, they are very hesitant to actually apologize because they're afraid that that apology can be used as a basis for a lawsuit. And what this bill does is it prevents that apology from becoming the basis of a lawsuit. Supporters say, of course, that this kind of bill will help free up the communication between doctors and patients and patients' families. Critics of the bill, including attorneys, say this bill gives doctors special treatment in the eyes of the law. Of course, on the attorney's part, it will make it harder for them to file and win malpractice lawsuits. So it makes sense, perhaps, that they would be against this.
I just want to get a handle on what this means. So this is a scenario in which, let's say, a patient dies under a doctor's care.
Yes.
And a doctor might come out and say, I'm sorry this happened, but apparently this can be used to litigate.
Exactly. Lawyers and the families of patients can use that apology against the doctor in many states. But what's interesting is there's this movement going on right now. And I think this bill that we're talking about right now relates to this movement is allowing the doctors the freedom to apologize in these cases. And in fact, there are some hospitals, Johns Hopkins, among others, that are actually urging doctors to apologize because studies show that over time, people sue less if doctors apologize. And so in the long run, at least some evidence suggests that it can save money and avoid potentially costly lawsuits.
That's interesting because obviously hospitals worry that there's a link between apologies and lawsuits that would lead to more lawsuits. You're saying the evidence actually says maybe less.
Yeah, there is some evidence to suggest that right now. And of course, this goes against the grain of hospitals and insurers, you know, because they've long promoted what in the business, there's a strategy they call defend and deny. And what this bill we're talking about in the Assembly does and other bills across the country and the movement in general to allow doctors to apologize is it sort of turns it on its head and say basically it's acknowledge and apologize.
The human component, maybe.
Exactly.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Noah, thank you so much for stopping by and talking today.
It was good to be here. Thanks.
That was Noah Ovshinsky, WPR's assistant news director.
Coming up, we'll geek out on the strange worlds and big questions of science fiction. I'm Cynthia Schuster.
I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.